today we welcome from Climate Smart Glacier Country, Kate McMahon. Hi, Kate.
Hi.
Yeah, good morning, Kate.
Good to have you with us today. So, 5 years of Climate Smart?
Yeah, I was just looking back through our records and realized that we've been around that long and thought this would be a good time to catch everybody up on what we do.
Does it seem like it's been that long?
No, it doesn't. And we had COVID in between, so that sort of, you know, changes your perception of time, I think.
Oh, I guess, yeah. 5.5 years ago, you incorporated. So what was the plan when you guys all got together and figured out you needed to do something?
I think, you know, a couple things. One was we knew that this was an issue that a lot of people were interested in and concerned about, and we thought that as a group we could provide a place where people can get together and talk about it. Mm-hmm. The city of Whitefish was also getting ready to start their process to develop a climate action plan, and we partnered with them, thought we could help facilitate some of that public outreach, getting people involved, and then just providing, you know, an opportunity for education so people can find out more about climate change.
Yeah. You know, and Whitefish kind of led the way for just about everybody here in Montana because they jumped right into it.
Yeah. You know, Whitefish is the first community, and I think still the only of the three incorporated cities that actually has a climate action plan. And we also looked to Missoula because they had done a lot of work down there. So so Climate Smart Missoula was a good role model for us and a really good resource. So we sort of built on what they were doing.
I thought it was fascinating what they came up with in Whitefish for for a climate action plan. They changed all the light bulbs in the whole darn place to LEDs and I think the biggest thing is the new wastewater treatment plant.
Yeah, and they're going to be putting community solar out there. So they've been talking with Flathead Electric, Flathead Electric has community solar projects at two other places in the county. One out by Applied Materials, and I think just one right on their roof. But this will be their third one, and they're going to do it at where the wastewater treatment plant is. Oh. So people will be able to buy panels there.
Yeah, that water treatment plant, we should talk a little bit about that because that is solar powered.
It's not solar powered right now.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so this will, and the solar panels that are going to be there will go into the grid, so they won't directly power the solar plant, but it'll offset the energy use that the wastewater treatment plant is.
And that's another key element of all this is we don't necessarily have to throw everything out the door. We can start doing different things to offset the energy that we're using. For example, fossil fuels. We can offset that by, some of us driving electric cars. Not all of us, but some of us.
Yeah, driving electric cars, preserving green spaces so that the trees, you have the carbon sink, will absorb that. So, another key piece of the Whitefish Climate Plan was the Haskell Basin Conservation Easement.
That's what
that
I was,
preserves
yeah.
all right. of that green space and open space there. And that's another offset, for the energy use that we have.
Those are the kinds of things that make a lot of sense and are kind of non-controversial because not everybody's on board for the climate change thing.
Yeah, and that and part of that is education. Like you were saying, not everybody's on board or they don't know what they can do. They may not be aware that, Flathead Electric actually is hydropower, so it is clean energy, but we still drive our cars a lot. We need to offset that. There's just a lot of individual actions you can take and things that are very easy to do. And I think also just an awareness of what some of the local governments and agencies and state agencies are already doing in this area.
From Glacier Country, we got Climate Smart Glacier Country, and Kate McMahon is our guest today. So let's talk about some of the things that you guys are doing now.
Okay. One of the things we just did a month ago was a HEPA filter distribution process. And what that is units that portable units that are air purifiers. So during wildfire season, you know, when we have days where there's a lot of wildfire smoke, you can plug these in and it'll clear the smoke out. And especially for people that have respiratory illnesses or senior citizens, you know, this is real important because there's, you know, some health impacts from the wildfire smokes. So we've done this for 3 years. We've gotten a grant to do it. The first 2 years we worked with the Flathead County Health Department to distribute the units. And this year, because the health department just had, you know, so much other work to do, we found a new partner, and that was the food bank, Flathead County Food Bank. And we distributed the units through them last month. And so we're looking for additional funding so that we can continue that program. This year we've been really, really pretty lucky. We haven't had too many smoky days.
Only one really bad one. And yeah. Boy, that took the air quality index down to like 130.
Yeah. But, you know, it's the beginning of August, and we've still got two more months of potential
wildfire
season.
Thank you for the reminder.
Yeah.
Well, what about Earth Day?
So Earth Day has, for quite a few years, was sponsored by Citizens for a Better Flathead, and they had an event in Whitefish with different, you know, organizations that would have booths and, you know, activities for families. That got suspended for 2 years. Because of COVID. And then this year we helped or worked with Flathead Valley Community College and sponsored their Earth Day event. It was the first time that they've done something like that, and the students at the college had various projects that were on display, and then a couple nonprofits were out there as well. So we were a sponsor of that, and we hope to build on that effort you know, in the continuing years. As part of that, we also purchased some coloring and activity books for use, and we distributed that at Earth Day and then donated them to a couple other places like the libraries and through the United Way Center to get those out. And then the third thing that we've done for Earth Day, and it was actually our second year of doing that, was just create a virtual online calendar for the month of April, because a lot of organizations like the Audubon Society, the landfill has a hazardous house, you know, monthly day to connect hazardous waste from households, just to sort of highlight all those things in the month of April that you can be doing. And we had them on a calendar. And so we've done that for 2 years in a row too.
Wow. Okay, so Earth Day is still alive and well, and when is that? It seems like that's already happened this year.
Yeah, that's it's April. It's, you know, I think the third Saturday in April every year. Mm-hmm. But we sort of, the Earth Day, or virtual calendar, we just feature stuff all month long in the month of April.
Seems like we throw an awful lot of stuff away.
Yeah.
Just toss it without even giving it a second thought to it. It's just so much garbage. We throw it in the containers and that's the end of it, but that isn't the end of it.
No. That we have plastic waste that doesn't really decompose. It just fills up the landfill. Some of it blows away and gets into the environment. Food waste does decompose, but it creates methane gas in the process. So you have the carbon impact of that. And just the manufacturing of all this stuff that we throw away requires energy and transportation costs. So, yeah, us being sort of a throwaway society has a lot of environmental impacts, all the way from production to distribution to throwing it away.
Now, you mentioned methane gas. We're kind of putting some of that to use.
Yeah. Yeah, we are at the landfill. They do capture some of that, and then that is used to generate electricity. But it doesn't capture all of it. Gas from methane from food waste is one of the biggest, is actually surprisingly more of a bigger contributor to climate and greenhouse gases than you would suspect.
Food waste?
Yeah.
Wow. So what about composting? Is that a good thing to do?
Yes, it is. And that's actually another initiative that we have is a zero waste project to work with Land-A-Hand, and also Dirt Rich is a company that collects food waste and does compost it, and creates good soil for farmers. And we are working with them to have a zero waste farmers market, and also a couple other events like the Hootenanny at Depot Park, where we would have a tent and be as people are at these events, instead of throwing their leftover food in the garbage, they can take it to the tent and collect it for composting. And then even the plates and the utensils are compostable too.
Wow.
So that you would just collect all of that.
Wow. That's fascinating.
Yeah.
It's we find it difficult to compost. We try to. We've got a couple of bins, but that kitchen waste, it just seems like it's just easier to run it down the garbage disposal and forget it.
Yeah. And that's one of those educational things that we're trying to make people more aware of. This is something that, you're right, you can do right in your own kitchen.
Yeah. So zero waste. Yeah. So this is a project that's being done in the farmers markets.
There was a pilot project that was done with the Whitefish Farmers Market about a year ago. We actually did a report, and that's available on our website, sort of best practices. Here's how you can do a farmer's waste. And we want to build on that. That's why we are sponsoring, a group to help them buy the tent and the materials so that they can set that up and make it more visible and then do it for more than just the farmer's market, but also some of these other big events like the Hootenanny or Brewfest or something like that.
And Land of Hand is getting involved too. They go through an awful lot of food there.
Yeah.
And they raise it.
Yeah.
And they raise the food, and then they've got the leftovers.
Yeah. And so they're one of our partners. There's, all of these events, and one of the big things with Climate Smart is we're a small group. We're all volunteers. We can only do so much. So the best way that we're going to be effective is to partner with other groups.
And
so that's, one of the groups that we'll be partnering with.
Well, one thing that you do is put out a tremendous amount of information. Robin's going to ask you about that after this.
Our guest today, Kate McMahon, and from Climate Smart Glacier Country. You mentioned the carbon footprint and calculating our carbon footprint. I got a size 14. So, but, and it made me think according to the Bible, God created man, and the first job he gave him was to take good care of the garden and name the animals. So there's so much information. This is just kind of overwhelming. You guys have a clearinghouse for it.
We have a website, and really the best way to find the website is just Google, Climate Smart Glacier Country, and it'll pop up. And we have a resource page on there. And you're right, there's so much information out there. And if you're wondering, well, what's happening locally, or how do I calculate my, carbon footprint, where do I go? You can go to our resource page, and we have links to a lot of resources on there. And it's just a good starting point, for people who want to find out more.
Okay. So a good starting point, or if you're looking for something in particular, that would be a good place to go, because you're likely going to have a link to it there.
Yeah. Especially the local stuff. I think that, people are surprised. Maybe you're a new resident, or you've been here a long time, and you're just wanting to find out more about the issue. And you tend to think of this as being sort of a national issue, and all these, major nonprofits are doing stuff. But there's actually quite a bit that's happening locally. And if you go to our resource page, we break it down by what's happening in Flathead County, state resources, so you can find out what's happening at the state level, and then, some national resources as well. But if you just want to find out what's happening in Flathead County, it's a good place to go.
Yeah, you have Whitefish connections there in Glacier National Park. So if you're concerned about the area or anything, this is a good place to go. Now, what are some county and state agency resources we can go to?
So at the county level, the county has a community wildfire protection plan. And one of the big climate issues that we have in Montana, or the Rocky Mountain West or Pacific Northwest, are wildfires. We have hotter summers, they last longer, more wildfires than we used to have. And so every county has to have a wildfire, or, you know, pretty much has a wildfire protection plan. And it has defines, you know, these are the areas that are at risk, what are the resources to fight them, and then what communities can do, you know, on this issue. So the Flathead County Community Wildfire Protection Plan, there's a link to that. The Flathead County, you know, Solid Waste District has household, you know, recycling and household hazardous waste collection. So there's a link to that. The Whitefish Climate Action Plan, there's a link to that. Like you mentioned, Glacier National Parks Climate Action Plan, there's a link to that. Even the Blackfeet Tribe and the Salish Kootenai Tribes have climate action plans. So if you want to know what these organizations are doing, there's a link to that. And then there's also links to other resources. The Citizens for Better Flathead, they put out a recycling guide. So if you want to know, well, what do I do with my electronic waste? Where do I recycle, you know, paper products or plastic products? You could go on there and download that.
And now this is all on your website. So we go to Glacier Smart Country. Is that right?
Now, Glacier Smart Climate Country. You had to have the climate in there.
Okay. Yeah. And Glacier Smart, Climate Smart Glacier Country.
Yeah.
There you go. And I bet you if you go in Climate Smart Glacier, you'll find it on Google.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Like I said, the easiest way is just to Google it.
Yeah. The one thing that I think astonishes people more than anything else who move here is we don't have recycling here. We don't have, if you live in New York, if you don't recycle, you get fined, a hefty fine. Places like, Olympia, Washington, for example, if you recycle, you put things out in your three recycle things, they come every 2 weeks and they take it off your garbage collection bill I think people are astonished that a place is beautiful and a place that relies on its natural resources like we do. We don't have a recycling program in our homes.
Yeah, there is recycling, but it's not mandatory. It's not robust. I would say that out of all the conversations we have with people and issues that come up, recycling is the number one. People, like you say, they come from other places or they visit other places, and it's you know, that everybody does it. So your options here, Republic actually does have curbside recycling for a price, you know, for a fee in some places. And then we have drop-offs in the county. Flathead County, you know, Solid Waste District has recycling at all their green box, but you have to drive there. Whitefish is had a drop-off site that was closed because they're going to be using that for affordable housing, but they're in the process of issuing an RFP for another drop-off site. They've looked at curbside recycling, but there's been some issues with bears.
that's a problem.
Yeah.
Now, I came from Oregon, and over there, it's kind of like it was when we were kids, John, when we had the glass bottles, and there'd be a 3-cent deposit or whatever, and kids would go out and collect bottles out of the ditch or wherever and turn them in and get candy money.
Well, I did that here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But since they've gone to the aluminum containers and everything, and they're really thin, they don't do that. But in Oregon, they do have a deposit, and you take the cans and you run them through these can crushing machines, and it prints out a coupon that you can take into the store and get the cash back.
Yeah, that I have seen. I haven't used them personally, but I've read about those. Yeah. So you can recycle aluminum cans.
The problem is getting it to market from Kalispell, I guess.
Yeah, and Pacific Recycling and Steel will pay you. Like if you want to collect, cans and bring them in, but you have to collect a pretty large volume. You know, it's not as convenient, like you said, as going in and putting them in a machine. But you're right, the biggest issue we have with recycling here is transporting it because we're not close to any place, you know, that processes the recycling material.
And I guess we can't shoot them into outer space either.
Yeah.
That's been tried.
Yeah.
Gosh, another great conversation with Kate McMahon and the great stuff you guys do at Climate Smart Glacier Country. Thanks so much.
Okay, thank you.